show.
That's legit.
Well, all right, so we're talking just momentarily, just briefly here about Dave & Buster's, which they're not a sponsor as far as I know. Do you know, Robert?
No, they're not a sponsor.
I doubt if Dave & Buster's is a sponsor at this particular point, since you're...
Yes, you said you're leaving the radio platform.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't know. Maybe Dave & Buster's was a long-time sponsor. I'm not saying that they sign up as an advertiser.
Well, they're not going to sign up now.
No, I know that. I'm saying...
I'm saying they're not going to sign up now on account of going off of the platform.
I understand what he's saying, but I know about the radio business terms.
So you're conversant with them?
Yes, I know all about... Phil will sit there and say, oh, this is a microphone. I know what the microphone is, and I know the volume knob, right?
The pot.
The what?
Talk about a pot.
I don't understand. I know radio terms. I don't need to be. And you said that Dave & Buster's was going to buy a spot. Isn't that what that, a spot? Right, Phil?
Okay, Mark, don't yell at me, Margaret.
Well, is the term right, a spot?
Yeah, yes, it's a spot. And I didn't say...
Why are you yelling?
Why are you yelling?
Well, I want to be understood.
No, I didn't say that Dave & Buster's is buying a spot. I'm just talking about Dave & Buster's. I have nothing to do with advertising at all.
I don't think he was talking about advertising so much as he was talking about that you like Dave & Buster's, and they've got too many kids crawling through that place, and I agree with Phil.
They have too many what?
There's too many kids at Dave & Buster's. I'm not complaining, Dave & Buster's. Although, because I ain't been to a Dave & Buster's in a long time. But Dave & Buster's, when I first went there, and the reason why it attracted so many adults, I think, is because it was marketed as a place for adults. It was, in other words, a gaming center, a video game and virtual game and sports bar game and every kind of a game, plus the extra added attraction of females.
Yeah, they have women. They're not going to have that at Cheesy Chuck or anything.
Why do you call it Cheesy Chuck? It's what is it called, Phil?
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yes, I used to take Jason J. Delmonico. So this one here is calling it Cheese.
I thought it was Cheese Chuck.
Cheese Chuck? No, man. Boy, I'll tell you, of all the diseases that this radio show suffers from, one of the biggies is, can we get a name right around here? No. Chuck E. Cheese turns into Cheese Chuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny, though.
It is.
What is the name of it?
It's Margaret, you're the mother of a young son.
I haven't taken him there in years.
Chuck E. Cheese. Now, that's a place for kids. Dave & Buster's is an adult version of that. And the thing they used to say was very simply, oh, you know, the great thing about it is we don't let any kids in here after a certain time. And I forget what it was.
I think it's like 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock? You sure?
Not really, but I mean, you know.
They cut it off.
Well, what do you mean they cut it off?
The time.
Oh.
The time. They cut the time. They cut off the time that kids are allowed in. So after a certain time in the evening, 7 or 8, no kids, man. No. And guess what? It turns into a really fun place. I'm not saying that, you know, I like kids. And if you're a parent, you entertain your kids. But you do want to go somewhere where maybe you can have a couple of laughs and there aren't kids everywhere. And that's what Dave & Buster's was. Now I'm hearing, what are you hearing, Bud?
Now, a friend of mine went over there just the other day and saw a kid hanging around like, this stinks. And just got into his car and just burned rubber out of the lot. And then he got a ticket because he's so pissed.
Wait a minute. A friend of yours got so pissed off he left... Burning rubber.
Yeah, went on a cheese over at Dave & Cheese. Not Dave & Cheese, but
it's you called it Chuck E. Cheese.
This is not Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dave & Buster's.
Yeah, Dave and Buster. And so he saw a kid, and he went, "What? What's the story?" And just went back out to his car and peeled out.
He just saw a kid there?
Yeah, you're not supposed to see none.
Well, man, that doesn't mean you can see a kid, man. It doesn't mean a kid's going to get to stay there.
What is it? What, are they allowed in or are they not?
I don't think kids are allowed in there at all. I don't even... After a certain hour, you can't... No kid is allowed in the place, even if they're with an adult. Even if they're with an adult. If you're 18 or over, then you get in, okay?
Oh, 18 or older. And the drinking age, though, is what? Isn't it 21?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're not going to penalize someone. Look, an 18-year-old is majority age. You can get sued. You can get arrested. You can move out. You can get a bank loan, as far as I know. You can do everything. You can join the military. The idea that you can't drink, I don't know. You know, that's one between the citizenry and its elected legislature.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to talk here tonight. I don't want to move us past the Dave and Buster thing, but I don't want to, you know, is there anything else?
Well, I just don't understand. You saw a kid and then you peeled out?
No, a friend of mine.
His buddy.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah, because he didn't like seeing the kid.
No, he's so...
Well, hold on for a minute. You said, let's just break this down because, you know, I used to work for the military police. And if you have a problem or you have a situation, you want to break it down into its elements, into its evidentiary elements. All right?
Yes.
All right. Your friend... Oh, never mind.
Wait.
I'm bored with it already.
Oh, thank you very much, General. That's great.
What do you mean bored with it?
It bores me to tears. It bores me. It bores me to the point of having a loose stool.
Okay. So your friend pulled in, saw a kid.
Yeah, he got pissed off, peeled out, and then got a ticket. That's the whole part. I didn't care. He didn't care about peeling out, but somebody reported the peel out.
What does that mean, reported the peel out? Is that burning rubber?
Yeah, he burned rubber out of the lot. Boy, he must have been really pissed off.
Yeah, he wanted to have a beer, and he wanted to have a beer in peace and quiet.
I think I'll go over to Dave and Buster's and have a beer in peace and quiet.
Well, then why am I a little kid hanging around? Yeah, I didn't want to have a kid hanging around.
You know something? We should honor and appreciate our children. Children are the future of this country of ours. It's for the children that we do the things that we do.
Holy Christ.
I beg your pardon.
You know, when you start in, I'm not saying you, Margaret, but Phil, when I hear people start in about the children being the future, I know someone has grabbed that middle leg. Oh, forget it.
Watch it with the middle leg, okay? Because we're still very much on
we're on a terrestrial reality radio.
Yeah, the terrestriality radio. All right, so tonight we have the first news report coming in here to the Phil Hendry Brain Central News Talk Radio thing, whatever, is, you know, our interest in animals, not because I'm interested in endangered species, not because I'm interested in keeping the spotted owl alive, not because I'm interested in... I just don't like to see animals get treated poorly, and then I want to go and find the humans that did it and throw them into a cage with a cheetah or whatever animal has been abused. Now, in India, India's got these problems with leopards and stuff. What's the story with that?
I don't know. It's
well, now India does have the large cat.
Yeah, India's got. I've been seeing stories about India with these leopards and cheetahs. And, you know...
What's the other kind?
The other kind of what?
The other kind of what, a cat?
Yeah.
Leopards and cheetahs and tigers?
The other kind.
Lions?
No. No, what other kind?
What do you mean, what other kind? Leopards, cheetahs, panthers?
No.
Oh, well, you get out of here, man.
What are you thinking of, bud?
The other kind of... What kind of... I'm thinking the other kind of cat. You mean like just a regular house cat? Yeah, that's it. Did it?
Get out of here with the regular house cat. That ain't a wild animal. That's a domesticated animal.
What?
See, people don't understand the difference between the two, man. Domesticated, wild. One you can live around and pet and have in your lap and feed, and it looks at you and it says, hi, you're part of the family. And you say, uh-huh. And you give it the keys to the car, and it drives where it wants to go, and it helps pay the rent when you're out of town, and it watches the house, and the house sits. That's a domesticated animal. A wild animal will chew your face off. Thank you.
Hey. You've been Phil Hendry. Tell you about wild animals.
Exactly. All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more on that story, which is, as I said, very bizarre. And also, R.I.P., Godspeed, a great man, a funny man, a great director, great creator, Harold Ramis passed on today at the age of 69, the director of Groundhog Day, just to name one. Phil Hendry Show.
If you see me walking down the streets, and that's that...
Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You cleared your throat there with the mic on.
Did I really? I'm utterly just humiliated.
All right, Phil, don't be a smartass.
Margaret's just simply trying to help you clean things up around here.
That's okay. I appreciate it, Margaret. I do.
I thought that that's something you don't want to do.
No, you don't want to do it. Thank you very much. But you got Dr. George Havana from the Primate Center in Mississippi?
Yeah, this from Jackson, Mississippi at a primate.
Okay, that's great, and I appreciate that. But we're talking about leopards. We're not talking about monkeys here.
Yeah, well, that was the only guy that was available.
That was the only guy that was available, a monkey expert, and we're talking about a leopard.
Yeah.
See, do you guys understand the difference here?
Well,
my understanding was he was ready to go.
Okay, that's great. He's ready to go. Why not just call a plumber or something like that?
What?
Why would you call up a leopard expert? Why do you call a monkey guy?
Yeah, the guy, we called him up and said, I know you know about monkeys, but we need someone on the air right away.
Yeah. And he said, sure, I'm... And we said, we're going to talk about leopards. He goes, not a problem. So I said, that's fantastic.
Not a problem. Okay.
Well, Phil, if the man's willing to talk about leopards.
All right. Maybe does he know anything about leopards?
He does not, no.
Well, then what the hell have we got the guy on the air for, man?
Shh. He's on hold right now.
Phil, you don't want to... insult. Yeah, you don't want to insult the man. He's on hold right now, hearing you tear him a new ass. So
I'm not tearing him a new... All right, let me get on the phone here. Dr. George Havana here from Jackson, Mississippi this evening at the Primate Center. Dr. Havana, sir, thank you for being with us.
Well, good evening. Thank you.
Sir, I didn't mean to say, infer anything. Are you an expert on cats?
No, I'm not at all, but this very good young people called representing your program and asked if I would come on as an expert on leopards, and I said, of course.
And why would you do that if you're all about...
That I'm all about the primate?
Yeah.
Because they were asking, they said they needed someone at the last moment.
Do you know anything about leopards?
Only what I read in the newspaper and, you know.
What you read in the newspaper?
I'd be willing to take a shot at it, though.
Dr. Havanaugh, this is General Galen Shaw.
I'm sorry, what is your name, sir?
Yes, General Galen Shaw.
Your name is Galen Shaw, yeah?
Now, if we spoke to you about leopards and cheetahs and cats, have you any working knowledge of those wild animals?
None whatsoever, no.
All right.
Like I said, this guy called up, had a funny-sounding voice.
Well, I'm saying I got one.
Yeah, I told you on the phone a moment ago, sir. Is this Mr. Dickman?
Yeah.
I told you a moment ago on the phone, I said, your voice is goofy, and I've got to talk some more with this guy. Is it okay? You hold on.
What is it? What are we doing here? Are you on to talk about cats, leopards?
That's what he told me, and I'm willing to do that. But the thing that really held my interest was how brain dead this guy was, you know, and the fact that...
All right, thanks a lot.
Man, you can't hang up on the guy.
Why can't I hang up on the guy?
Yeah, let me get on the phone.
Yeah, you get on the phone and explain to him.
Yeah, hello. Yeah. Huh? Hello? He hung up.
You know, you guys must be mentally diseased or something, you know?
Look, Harry, you said you wanted to get a guy on real fast.
I didn't say get a guy that's a monkey expert to talk about cats.
Well, they did the best they could, Phil. I'm just...
Thank you very much, Joe, for sticking up for us.
I understand Phil's point to a point, but I'm not sure I'd get... I'm not sure I'd have, as the kids used to say, a cow over the whole thing.
You know what? If I can't explain to you why it's weird, if I ask for a guy that is an expert on cats and you bring me a monkey expert with the excuse, well, hey, the guy was available and he doesn't know anything about cats. I could even understand if the guy... What, Margaret?
Wait, just wrap it up a little bit.
Don't do that that pinwheel motion, okay?
We're trying to get you to wrap it up. Move it along.
All right, leopard injures 7 people. I'm telling you right now, and I'm...
Phil.
No, I have a right to say this. You guys have got to have some kind of a... I told you, I think you'd both need MRIs, man, for you to put a guy on the air who's an expert in monkeys to talk about cats. I know that I was in a hurry. I understand that I wanted to have a guy on right now. I understand that this and that. And you might as well have said to me, hey, Phil, we have on the phone here. Why are you getting up and walking out, bud?
I just want to get something to drink.
Don't walk out of here, man, when I'm talking to you.
Oh, sorry.
Where are you going?
Same thing. I thought you were talking to Bud.
I'm talking to all of you guys. Everyone, sit down.
Can I go to the toilet?
No, I'd rather that you stay where you are.
God!
Now take it easy, Phil. You're just starting the program. You want to do a staff meeting right here on the air?
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, now, Oh, he's going to sulk.
Yeah, you're getting all sulky and everything.
No, no, it's fine. It's okay. It's fine. Go ahead. Go get water, or you got to go to the bathroom. Go ahead.
Well, you don't have to announce it to everyone.
You just did, okay? How you doing, General?
I'm fine. I'm worried about you.
Well, I'm fine. There's nothing wrong with me.
Well, you seem to be under a lot of pressure. What happened this weekend? I heard you telling the audience. What happened?
This weekend was tough, you know.
What happened?
Well, I couldn't sleep. I've had insomnia for four nights running until... last night, it was okay. So I should say four nights running. Last night, it got better.
Do you feel as if you're caught up on your sleep?
Yes, I feel like I caught up on my sleep this afternoon because I had to get up this morning, go to a meeting, got home, I was dead, I went to sleep, and that seemed to do it for me. But I was a dead man walking, you know.
So and I heard you talking to Nikki that you felt you were a mess, right? And you blew an audition out, right? You blew an audition to bits, and I shouldn't use the word blew. You blowed it, right?
It was not good, yeah. I don't care if you use the word blue, as long as it's in the right context.
Well, you said that I couldn't say Blue Allen.
I didn't want you... Is that the guy you know?
Yes.
I didn't want you using the guy because the guy's gay. You told me he moved in with some guy named Allen, and his nickname is Blue Allen. So his name is Walter Blue Allen.
Oh, I see what you... Okay, yeah. Well, but if you have a mind that goes that way, you understand...
Everybody's mind goes that way, General. Everybody's mind. Everyone's. Believe me. How do I know? I'm on Facebook.
Hey. Way to really pull that one out of the fire.
Thank you. All right. Leopard injures seven people.
You're still on that one, huh?
Yeah, I'm still on it. Meerut locks itself in. By the way, Meerut is a town in India. I thought it was a country. I thought it was a province. I don't know what the hell it was. Or Meerut is a city or town in India, in the Indus Valley, an ancient city, a very, very old city. And this is where this leopard got loose. Seven people were injured at the Cantonment Hospital. So there's been a curfew in this town, and the entire town is locked down because of this leopard. Police warned people to stay indoors, cover the windows, and do not peep out from your balconies, they announced on loudspeakers. Why is that?
Yeah, the leopard will see you peeking out.
Yeah, probably if it sees you, it's going to know your home.
If it sees you, it's going to know your home. I don't understand that.
Didn't the police say don't peek out? They must know what they're talking about.
Why would you? I don't understand, because there's a leopard out there. If you peek out a window, the leopard is going to...
The leopard?
Leopard.
I don't... The leopard may be a real animal. I'm not criticizing.
No, there's no leopard. If the leopard sees...
The leopard sees you, would be a natural thing. It would want to go up and you know, confront you looking at it.
What, are you nuts or something?
Phil, we know the police said what they said. What's your excuse?
Woo! Burned.
Everybody's ganging up on me tonight, man.
Oh, poor baby.
No, I'm sorry. You can have it, man.
Well, all right, so the cops are saying, don't look out, don't peep out on your balconies, they've said. The town's been divided into nine sectors, each under the charge of a magistrate. Joint teams of the Army, Forest Department, and local administration have been formed to trace the animal. Good God! We've formed over six special teams, but have not been able to locate the leopard so far. It was last seen outside a building on Abu Lane in the early hours of Monday. We searched the entire building, but could not find it. The animal's probably scared to death, hiding someplace. Nobody knows where the leopard came from. It was first sighted at around 11 a.m. on Sunday in a, I don't know what this is, a godown near Sadar Thana. That's some kind of a habitat. And the animal remained inside the godown until late afternoon, even as a crowd gathered outside. According to experts, the leopard, a male, is estimated to be around 5 years old. 3:30 in the afternoon, a civilian entered the godown to prove that the leopard wasn't there. He removed a plank of wood, and the leopard leapt out, took a swipe at the man, and ran off. To prove it wasn't there, huh?
Yeah, I guess it's proof. It ain't there now.
No, it's not there now. What about that, man? And this is a wild animal that is see, this is a habitat. These are humans encroaching into a habitat that is still pretty much controlled, or at least is still shared by a rather active wild animal population. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show back with more news here this evening. Carl Icahn ranted about Silicon Valley. It was an eBay rant spotlighting clubby Silicon Valley. Well, anyway, we'll see what he's got to say about eBay and other technological news. There's a piece of news from Mark Zuckerberg who says that the money they paid for WhatsApp, $19 billion, is a bargain. And I've never even heard of this app. I don't know anybody that has. I mean, not any real people. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com, and tune in. We are live and mobile on our website right now at philhendryshow.com, live and mobile on our website, live and mobile on TuneIn. So we're all kinds of places doing all kinds of things here. So who do we have now? Is this guy Jim Doville?
Yeah, this is the guy Karen Doville's brother, or brother-in-law.
Karen Doville, who is a listener of ours, has a brother-in-law that's frequently calling as well along with her. Now, he is on line three, is it? And I think Karen's... Karen, how are you doing?
Oh, Phil, we heard what you were doing. We are loving your program tonight and every night. We just wanted you to know that. We just love it. That's all I'm going
to say. Okay. How you doing?
Jim, how are you?
I'm very good. Listen, I did animal control for 7 years. Two counties out from Baltimore, as well as where we are from originally in Somerset in Georgia. I'm familiar with how to handle these wild animals. Now, we've dealt with usual house pests, raccoons, and these kinds of animals that can get in through a hole in the roof. Now, you mentioned you and I talked about this a while, but I don't know if you remember. You and I talked about when you'd had, or you thought you had raccoons in the attic.
Yeah, the old house I was living in.
I understand, but the statement you've made is you thought you had raccoons in an attic.
That's what I thought, yeah.
I understand, and I told you at that time that I would be happy to come out and look at it. I didn't live in California, but if I'd lived in the area, I'd come out and look at it. Do you recall that?
Yeah, I remember you and I were discussing it, yeah.
But I told you at that time that I would go in and take a look. But there's a 50-50 chance when you go into any enclosed space, even with an animal like a raccoon, which is a wild animal, but I don't think we think of it. Certainly it's a man-eater. It's not anything that's going to... It does not attack human beings as a food source. It attacks the human generally as a natural enemy. And I said I would go in there. But there's no guarantee I come out of an encounter with a raccoon uninjured.
I understand. I know that they're very, very vicious animals.
Yes. But if you have a raccoon, now, this animal is a leopard. This is a man-eater. This is an animal that will kill you. And I don't know if you remember the film Clockers, where Scientific had a sweatshirt on, and he had the barrel of a gun on the sweatshirt. It was a piece of artwork. Do you recall that?
Yeah.
Okay, and it said, I'm going to kill you. I always imagine a leopard or a raccoon, any animal that is in an enclosed area wearing that shirt. It sounds silly. Hold on.
No, this is Karen. He's just getting off on a tangent. Tell Phil what you know, though.
I'm going to do it, Karen. I'm going to do it.
Tell Phil what you know about getting the raccoon, not the raccoon, the leopard. Because Phil is on the air.
I understand, Karen. Not the first time I've talked to Phil Hendry. I've talked to Phil Hendry many times.
All right, okay,
so that's okay. I'm enjoying the conversation, Jim. So you worked animal control for one or two counties in your life, and you've dealt with what kinds of animals?
Oh, we've dealt with raccoon. We've dealt with snake, rattlesnake. I think you had mentioned you've had a variety of problems that are similar to the ones that we deal with, Phil. Didn't you say at one time you also had a rattlesnake problem?
We did. We had a rattlesnake in the garage.
Okay, and did animal control come out for that?
They did, yeah. I didn't feel like messing around with it. Some friends of mine said, just get a shovel and kill it. I didn't want to, you know, I was going to let... Because it was coiled up pretty tight. It was a baby rattlesnake.
Well, those are dangerous. Baby rattlesnakes are dangerous. They don't know, because they're infants, and have not been taught, you know, the instinct for any animal is the younger they are, the more immature, and a baby rattlesnake doesn't have any idea, it has no idea what it's doing, so it will bite you and go ahead and release all the venom that it has and wipe you out. You are a dead man walking, and the baby rattlesnake is there looking at you like, you know, there's something wrong with you because why are you dying? See, it doesn't understand.
Well, I doubt seriously whether the baby rattlesnake cares either.
Well, that's a point too. Yeah, no, it obviously doesn't care. But if it was an adult rattlesnake, it would have the common decency. Well, that's probably the wrong way to put it, right, Karen?
You don't say it. Rattlesnake's not going to have the common decency. I didn't mean to butt in.
But don't butt in,
dear. No, but your film is still. I'm sorry.
No. It's fine. Let me ask you about leopards here, Jim, because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, no. The leopard now is a whole different situation. The leopard, that's a step up. That's a step up from anything that I've ever dealt with. And if certainly anyone from animal control is called to a residence, and we're told that there is a leopard in the attic or a leopard in an enclosed room, you have to take into consideration a couple things. Number one, you may be the object of it wanting to get something to eat. And you may be, you know, the thing that it wants to eat. That will, if I determine that, I will not even go to that residence. I will stay clear of the residence because I can't deal with that personally.
Well, I mean, who would, you know?
Well, there's some people that can deal with a wild animal, can tranquilize it, can stun it, and can subdue it and put that animal into some kind of a contained area where it is then transported to the wild and re-released, or... the animal is put down or it is kept in captivity. Some people can do that, even though they know the animal wants to eat them. But if I know an animal wants to eat me, I won't answer that. I won't take that call. I'll say, I'm going to give that over to Section 3 or probably move it on over to Section 4 or the blue section. I will not go out to any animal that I may not come back, not only not come back from, but there won't be anything of me to bury. You see what I mean?
Well, okay. We're talking here with Jim Deauville, who is the brother-in-law of Karen Deauville.
Yes, what exactly are your credentials, Jim, other than the fact that you just called the show?
Well, he's got credentials.
No, but I'm hearing you talking about being eaten.
Well, I said to Phil, Margaret, that I've worked at, get a load of you. I mean, who are you to ask me?
She has a right to ask the question. You worked at for animal control.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
Yeah, I worked for animal control.
Well, what is this about not wanting to be eaten? That sounds very ridiculous. Do you get many calls like that?
No, I do not get many calls like that. That's what I'm saying. Now I don't get any calls like that. None at all.
Why is that?
Why is what?
Why don't you get calls like that anymore?
Because I don't work for animal control anymore. I've got a cabinet making business.
Well, what the? No, I understand.
God, I thought I made that clear. I don't work for animal control. I wouldn't take that job again if they promised to plate me in gold. If the guy that ran the place was gold plated, you see.
What difference did that make?
What difference does what make?
No, don't we get sidetracked with a question like that.
I just wonder if the guy's gold-plated.
If the guy's gold-plated, you're going to want to work for that guy, wouldn't you?
Why?
Oh, so now you want to know why, too.
Yeah, get a load of Phil. You wanted to move past that.
Well, now I'm interested. Why would you want to work for a guy that's gold-plated?
Because you could... If he's gold-plated, maybe he's got some to spare. I don't know.
He's got gold-plating to spare?
Okay, I heard the laugh. I heard you go, he's got... I heard the voice crack up. I heard you crack up. I heard you crack yourself up. So I'm gonna let you go, Phil.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to run you off.
No, it's okay. I can tell now when I'm the butt of a joke, and I don't say I'm the butt of the joke. I say that I am the a-hole of a joke. That's how it is for me in my world. I'm turned into the a.
All right. Thanks very much, Karen. Just
let me get. Hold on. Yeah, Karen. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Henry went on hold. Yeah, okay.
Fine, bud. Thank you very much.
Why don't you just get her back on the line?
Because then I'd have to say, hey, would you please give the phone over to your sister-in-law? And then he'd ask why. And then I'd say, because you're getting weird now, man. You're talking about being the a-hole of a joke.
That guy is not just the a-hole of a joke, but he is the a-hole
of any topic.
Yes, of any topic. Any topic. So he's not just the butt. In other words, he's not just the butt of a joke. He's the butt of history and the butt of geography.
What?
Now, that doesn't make any sense. Being the butt of a joke means you're the object of a joke. How can you be the object of geography?
Phil, I don't know. Why do you got to play it? I don't understand what I'm saying. I'm just giving you I'm giving you something to hang your hat on.
All right, so the leopard in... that's wild, man. So we've had one guy who was a primate expert, and we just had Karen's brother-in-law who used to get raccoons out of an attic. But he's never, ever gone on a leopard call, nor would he go on any call requiring him to deal with an animal that could eat at him. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com in our online store right now, as I speak... In our online store is the Rudy Canoza Je T'aime Lingerie T-shirt.
Yay!
Right. And this is a beautiful ladies' pink tee. Now, as was pointed out to me over the weekend, no, it's not just for women. Anybody can buy the pink Rudy Canoza three-color, I say pink, but it's also in two other kind of shades of red. Anyone can buy that T-shirt and can wear that T-shirt. If you're a dude, sure, go ahead, have at it. Be my guest. It's, you know, it's your life.
No kidding.
It's fine. And actually, we had one guy actually sent a picture of himself in the Rudy Canoza T-shirt, and he was also wearing a diaper. So
I'm telling you, you've got some listeners that need serious medical attention. They need psychiatric evaluation. That was in the T-shirt, and he was wearing a diaper. Well, what did he have a pacifier in his mouth? You know, before I was married, I've got
what.
I've got stories I could tell you.
Well, I don't know if I want to hear. Does it involve Frank?
Not necessarily Frank, but some guys are all, mommy.
God.
You kidding me?
No, I'm not.
Anyway, so check it out at philhenryshow.com, our online store, the Rudy Canoza Je T'aime Lingerie T-shirt. While you're in there, look at some of the other things we have to offer in terms of our collectibles and clothing. Phil Hendry online store, philhendryshow.com. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com.
Didn't this song they killed a girl?
No, they did not kill a girl in this song, okay?
No, this was the one they thought there was a snuff.
There was no snuff in this song. That's like somebody on a roller coaster.
What is?
So the girl in the middle of this song, you guys don't know, those of you that are probably too young, an asinine rumor floated as soon as that song came out, Love Roller Coaster by Ohio Players, that somebody was snuffed in the next studio because you can hear a woman screaming through the instrumental break. That has to be someone being murdered. Why? Of course. The band just missed it, and the producer and the engineer and everybody just missed this scream. No, nobody got snuffed.
Well, then why did they say that?
Because everybody was on drugs back then. That's why.
Boy, no kidding, Mr. Henry.
That's why. Everybody was on drugs, and so everybody was saying everything, and everybody was believing it. I'm telling you right now, I lived through the 70s, and the 70s was the worst decade in the history, possibly in the history, outside of the Civil War, in terms of the behavior of the American people, the worst decade. It was disgusting on every level, on every level. The parents, the behavior of adults, the music wasn't all that good. The music sucked.
You're telling me you don't like Love Roller Coaster?
Love Roller, I like that song. There were some good bands, but the... You know, and even the early... Now, I would say that punk was good because it saved rock and roll from itself. Rock and roll was in danger of becoming what it eventually did become, so self-important and so in love with itself that there was no retrieval. It was on its way to an early demise. But, you know, it was at least retrieved from that briefly by punk rock, which came along and turned the whole thing upside down. You know, when you got a band like the Sex Pistols vomiting in a record executive's office. You got to love that.
What do you mean you got to love that? That is, you talk about an abomination.
Well, but no, but I, you know, but I'm just saying that they, I think that that was a necessary act, you know.
Well, what was it? Some kind of a revolutionary act? Is that what you're saying, Henry? You had more of these people back then.
No, it wasn't a revolutionary act. No, it was just, it was refreshing. It was a disgusting decade. Disgusting. Than for the fact that the consumption of recreational drugs was out of control, and you know, and there wasn't anybody. You couldn't even make an argument in those days, and have anybody stick around and listen to it, that drug use was bad. You know, everyone would have considered you raining on their parade, trying to stop the party from happening. Yada 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 yada. So this book you have to read about the 70s. As soon as I find out the title of it, I'll bring it in.
Now, this is the one you've been threatening to bring in about how the 70s was a decompression of some kind?
Yeah, he said the 70s was a party.
The 70s, according to this author, America had been on high alert and red alert and emergency standby for decades. I mean, we had been since the turn of the century, maybe not since the turn, but since World War I, we were on a total... alert status. We were like a garrisoned society. I mean, we had the guns ready, and we were ready to rock and roll and kick ass, and we go through a depression, and then we had a war. And we had, you know, and it was just not fun. And then the war ended, and then comes the 50s, and everybody has a flat top, and everyone's doing it the way they ought to do it. Have kids, have a nice house, have the barbecue, everything coming, you know, everything's buttoned down. Keep those commies out of here. Keep it buttoned down. Keep it good. Keep it America. Keep it baseball. Keep it football. Keep it, variety shows with Jerry Lewis, all that. And gradually what happened was we sort of looked around us and we looked at ourselves. We said, you know what? There's nobody really to be afraid of anymore. Yeah, there were commies, but no one was buying it. Nobody was really buying the commie threat anymore. And yes, there were a lot of people that were taking it seriously. And I imagine they had their reasons. One of the things that the Reagan years proved was that I better not keep...
You're starting to get on the wrong side of me if you are going to criticize Ronald Reagan.
I'm not criticizing President Reagan, not at all. I'm just going to say he spent enough money. His thinking was, I spent enough money, I can break these people because they got no money. The Russians are... It's the very thing that Hitler said about Bolshevism, only... It was filtered through a reasonably sane mind. When he said, kick in the front door, the whole rotten structure will fall, Hitler thought he could do that with tanks. He didn't get it. Reagan got it. You kick in the front door, the whole rotten structure falls down with money. With money. And that's exactly what happened. So the threat of commies was never really taken, and shouldn't have been, because that's all it took. A couple of bucks, you make them spend enough money, and the whole thing falls to pieces. The 70s was like this big party that the country threw for itself, finally, when we realized there wasn't anything to be afraid of. Now, I'm not saying that that's the way it ought to be.
Well, you talk about a party, everybody on cocaine, everything like that.
Well, I mean, it was just a big, everybody letting their hair down. I mean, the 70s was just nutty. It was all about do whatever you want, smoke whatever you want, do whoever you want, listen to whatever you want, be what you want. It was dumb. And look at the clothes. Oh, God. Is there anything worse than what I wore in the 70s?
One of these days, I'd love to get a picture of you wearing some clown outfit from the 70s.
I don't think one exists.
But you do burn them all?
I bet you burned every picture you got of yourself, man.
No, there's some 70s pictures of me that survive. I don't know how many there are. But,
Did you wear the clown suit? I've seen more guys from back then in the clown outfit.
What do you mean the clown outfit? What does that mean?
You know, the big flare pants.
Yeah, everybody had on an orange clown orange clown pants.
Yeah.
Orange clown pants. You mean the flare pants?
What do they call those?
Call them bell bottoms.
Yeah, bell bottoms. I didn't know what they were called. That day it's called clown slacks.
No, clown slacks?
Yeah, we call clown slack.
What is the clown slack? I remember now. I don't know what you people are talking about. I had an ice cream colored. I know a lot of people made fun of them, but I found it to be comfortable. And Patsy bought me three of them. I had an ice cream colored leisure suit.
Oh man.
Oh, well, what are you all of a sudden? What are you, Mr. Blackwell?
Mr. Blackwell.
An ice cream colored what?
It was a two-tone leisure suit. You got a problem with that?
Oh, my God, General.
Well, what is that about? You know, I would wear... What are you talking about?
Leisure suits were sort of just no good, man.
Oh, is that right? Well, thank you for letting me in on everything, Tab Hunter.
Look, I'm not trying to criticize. God knows I'm not the best dresser in the world, but leisure suits, you know.
Well, leisure suits were really for the middle-aged guys back then.
I thought they were very comfortable, and I had a two-toned, I had a lime... A lime-colored leisure suit.
A lime-colored leisure suit. Holy jeez.
Well, Phil, you're talking about it as if someone purposefully infected me with gonorrhea. What do you mean?
Well, just a lime... Purposefully infected you with gonorrhea?
That's the way it sounds.
No, just a lime-colored leisure suit sounds almost too weird to be true. Okay.
Let me tell you something, my friend. It was true, and it wasn't too weird to be true. It was weird, maybe, but it was true.
So I guess it wasn't weird.
That would be my assumption, yes.
Okay, so coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show, more on the passing of Harold Ramis. Great director, funny, funny man. He died today from complications due to illness, and we're going to talk about that and more. We come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And, of course, we are live mobile on our website right now, live and mobile on TuneIn right now. Oh, and visit the online store for the Je T'aime t-shirt.